Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. We have a new best friend today. I cannot wait to introduce you. Menchias Ari, our president and CEO of Communities and Schools right here in Charlotte-Mecklenburg. Good morning.
Good morning, Francine. Thank you so much for having me.
And I said your name right. I did.
You did. You're a professional.
Some days. So we've heard of Communities and Schools, you know, before COVID. But just to let everybody know, Communities and Schools is more busy than ever right now. So congratulations on being the new president and CEO since October 20th.
Well, thank you very much. It is my life's calling to be doing this work right now, and I'm very excited. I have a phenomenal team, Francine.
Wow. And that's what it takes. It takes people that are passionate about it in the team.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So October 2020, you took over as president and CEO. So welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, this organization is 34 years old.
Yes, it is. We're 34 years old here in Charlotte. We have started from one classroom, being in one schoolhouse, and now we are in over 40 different schools across the district. We're lucky that we partner with Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools, and we help approximately 6,000 students with case management services. We are not in 40 schools, but it's actually 53 schools. We are in 40 Title I schools, and one of my goals is that we get into every single Title I school in Charlotte-Mecklenburg.
Right, right. I'll play devil's advocate for you for a little bit. My mom was a teacher, right? And so she would sit at, you know, and we used to sit at the dinner table and talk, and she would just go on and on and on about, you know, just the system in general and the problems. And I'm actually in 2021 looking back on that going, we still got the same issues, kind of like, right? So
we do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wish we didn't have Title I schools. You know, why do we have to have them? Why can't they just be a fair playing ground? And I think that's where your job comes in at Communities and Schools and the team is to make it a fair playing ground and to get help. So if a parent is listening now and they're like, well, maybe I want to, you know, hop on to the website, what would they be looking for and what could you help them with?
No, that's a fantastic question. And I'm really glad that you asked this. So COVID-19 turned everyone's life upside down. Our teachers, our administrators, but more importantly, our students. They are not connected with their friends. They are not connected directly with their teachers in person. And what we found is that several students, not just in Charlotte, but across the country, are not logging in. And so what we're focused on is increasing engagement. We want kids to log in because if they aren't logged in, they aren't learning. And if they aren't learning, then the student academic achievement gap is just going to increase. But what that means is it means that black and brown kids are not going to be able to achieve their potential because of all the barriers that they have to face. So Communities and Schools, our job is to make sure that every student can succeed. And you mentioned about our website. What our website has is a page where parents who woke up one day and found out that they have to really play a more pivotal role in their students' life, almost homeschooling, they can see if we are in their child's school and if they need assistance, that they can fill out a form and someone from my team will reach out to them and find a way to get them connected to the resources that they need.
Wow. You know what? March 15th was a pivotal day for many people, or it might have been the week after. Very life-changing where, okay, kids have to stay home and mom and dad were used to doing their own thing, leaving the house. And no, this kid needs directions. So everybody was scrambling. Okay, we need another laptop. How's that going for folks?
Well, let me tell you, our community really came together and they provided laptops and hotspots. You know, it was an effort that was championed by Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools to make sure that no one was unable to connect. But guess what? I wish it was so easy that all our kids needed was a laptop and a high-speed internet connection. We have third graders, fourth graders, whose mom or dad is leaving to go to work 2 hours before their class starts. Now, I don't know about you. I love school. But if it was up to me to get out of the bed on my own and log in and get ready, I'm not sure that I would make every class. But not only that, some kids have to take care of their younger brothers or sisters and get them ready. So the pandemic has really added so many challenges to kids who are already resilient and really just need some additional support. And that's where we come in.
I love how you broke that down. You're someone who really understands. Wow.
Yeah. You talked about the pandemic. We did assessments on over 6,000 children since the pandemic. And what that translated to was over 55,000 different unique services that we provided. I mean, that is just mind-blowing to me. But what we found is some folks didn't even have a desk to work at. So some of my site staff went into homes and set up a desk or set up a workstation. Imagine 3 and 4 kids trying to all connect at the same time around the dinner table. That's not a great recipe for success. And it definitely is just exacerbating the existing challenges that we all know that we have in our system.
Exactly. So right now, folks can go to cischarlotte.org, cischarlotte.org. You can volunteer. So email them if you're retired and you really want to get in the game. It's volunteer at cischarlotte.org. So I'm glad that you have that volunteer opportunity because some people really want to get back in the game, right? And they have expertise.
Oh, yes. And we definitely have a really robust volunteer coordinator who really finds a way to connect our kids to folks in the community who have social capital. We have really pioneered a lot of social capital work where we've partnered with corporations. And we do mock interviewing for seniors getting ready to go to college. We do job shadowing. And all of those things have been put on hold to a degree due to COVID-19. And so we are pivoting and figuring out how we can continue to connect kids to volunteers in a virtual environment.
Right, exactly. So since we got hotspots, I love that. Since we have laptops, since some of your site coordinators are going in and filling the gaps and the voids, we like that. But there are students who, I guess the enrollment is still down or participation in classrooms, virtual classrooms, are down.
Yes, it breaks my heart, right? So I was listening to news on this. There was a spot on a local news show earlier this week. I've been reading tons of articles about this. And they say nationwide, there's approximately 200,000 kids that they can't even find. I'm not exactly sure what the number is here in our district, but there are kids who are not connecting for a myriad of reasons and trying to do outreach and go to their homes. While our site staff do some of that, we've had to put it on hold due to the recent uptick in COVID-19 in our community. But nationwide, 50% increase in absenteeism. And what we're seeing in Charlotte and our own CIS caseload is that we see that that's increased 20%.
Wow. So what advice do you have for someone listening now, a parent listening now, that they can make life better for the kid or give you advice or what advice can you give to them?
Well, I think, when you hear me talk, when you hear our staff talk, when you hear our board of directors talk, we talk about our kids. Mm-hmm. And this is a community issue. Okay. I think that we have to realize that it is all of our kids. If one kid is not connecting, everyone's kids are connecting because we have to change the trajectory of all of our kids in order to make sure that they succeed in life. And so what I say for a parent who is pulling their hair out, I mean, imagine waking up one day and you're having to homeschool and make sure that you can put a roof over your family's head That's a lot. I say that if you're connected to one of our community schools, one of the schools that we are in, we are here to help. District is really focused on getting kids what they need to succeed, and CIS is partnering with them to make sure that we not only get kids connected, but we want to do everything that we can to get them caught up, because we know that if you aren't connected, you aren't learning. It's no one to blame. It's not the kid's fault, and it certainly isn't the parent's fault, and we're going to do all that we can to make sure that no kid gets left behind.
Getting connected and engaged. That is exactly right. Right now, go to cischarlotte.org. If you are a lovely social media person, just get on. They've got everything. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. It's facebook.com/CIS Charlotte. So if you just Google CIS Charlotte, you're going to find Communities and Schools. Our fabulous one is here. He came on board actually during the pandemic, didn't you?
During the pandemic, right? Yes, during the pandemic.
Menchias Ari is joining us this morning, our new president and CEO. Join Communities and Schools, and I got to talk about your background from DSS to this lovely position that you have. You're bilingual, you're understanding, you're caring, and you're passionate about it. What else should I put on that resume? What? Morehouse man.
Yes. Yeah. Morehouse man, yes, you are extremely kind. Well, just know that although I didn't grow up in Charlotte, I've been in Charlotte the past 23, 24 years. I've got two adult children who've gone through all different types of school opportunities, homeschool. They've gone to CMS schools. They've gone to private schools. And what that gave me a lens to is that every child needs something different. But every child is built to learn, and I am here to figure out what barriers I can remove, what barriers our team can remove, so that our kids can achieve their highest potential. I am so excited about this work. I am so pleased that you took time out of your schedule to talk to me so that the community can learn more about what we're doing. But although my two children are grown and graduated, I consider all these kids our kids because their future is our future.
Exactly. This future, these kids, they're going to take care of us when we get to that whatever home that is. So we better.
Exactly.
We better take care of them.
Exactly. It is a reciprocal relationship.
Wow. Well, you are invited back anytime. If we had 2 minutes to give your closing statements, Menchias, what would it be?
What I would say is thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the community wrapping their arms around us to help us support our kids. I appreciate the parents who dug in to do all they can for their kids. And I say that when these schools open back up, we need the community to support the CMS school system. We need the community to support Communities and Schools, so that our kids can come out ready to learn, ready to achieve their greatest potential, and continue to help Charlotte on its trajectory to be one of the greatest cities in this nation. And if our kids don't have what they need, everything that we're doing is in vain. So it's up to all of us to make sure that we wrap our arms around our kids to make sure that they're able to succeed, not just in school, but in life. And that is our mission at Communities and Schools.
All right. Well, this is not our last time together. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'd love to come back and tell you how successful we were with getting kids connected and getting kids caught up for any learning loss that has occurred during this pandemic. So I will take you up on that offer to come back, but I really want to give a good report on how the community rallied behind us so that we can support our kids.
Definitely. So I'll call your people and I'll make an appointment.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, we're going to take a short break, but guess what? We're coming right back.
It's the Francine Marie Show. We're taking a break. So before you can wipe your bum, we'll be right back. This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.
Please please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.
If you rely on the egg carton and the windshield wiper, get to know their creators. Mary Ingle Pennington, the mother of modern food preservation, and Mary Anderson, real estate agent and inventor. You've heard of Marie Curie. This month, get to know some of history's other great women who invented, wrote, lobbied, and fought for our country. Discover their stories.
Black history is more than the stories of great individuals. It's the times in which they lived. The Great Migration, the Jim Crow era, and the Harlem Renaissance. It's housing restrictions, separate schools, and cross-country driving with a Green Book travel guide. For every famous name, there's an untold discrimination story that still affects us today.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. This segment, I always say that, is going to be my best segment. Because we're going to talk about loving yourself. We're going to talk about your imagination. How far will it go? We're going to do it with Ta. Ta Whitty is a sovereign intimacy coach. And we've been all talking about work-life balance. Ladies and gentlemen, give me a drum roll because here's Ta. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's talk about some healing. You're from the medical field, that system.
I am.
I'll call it that system. And now you're part of another system. And I like the one you're in. So tell everybody, you know, what got you involved in this medical world, in this healthcare world?
As a kid, I had a lot of trouble being intimate and connecting with my family. And so there was a lot of sibling rivalry and all kinds of stuff that happened when I was a child. And I did my best to flunk out in school to get attention from my parents. And I felt like school was really boring. So I did my best to get attention by flunking out. And I ended up going to a community college called Kingsborough Community College. And they had the highest passing rate for the nursing boards in the state. So I was like, ooh, let's do that. And so I went into nursing. I was very drawn to it because my mother was a nurse, and then she became a physician. She's the first Black woman in the world to be a perinatologist, which does she does maternal fetal medicine. And my father was an X-ray technician, so I had all of this healthcare stuff going on in my family, and I was like, I want to go into. And so I became a nurse at age 20. I graduated from nursing school, and I started to work at the largest municipal hospital in Brooklyn, New York. And I took care of a lot of really sick people. I was there through the huge AIDS rollout in the 90s, where AIDS was destroying human beings worldwide, particularly in this country. I learned a lot about their bodies. I learned a lot about intimacy and loneliness. I learned a lot about triage. And from there, I wanted to learn more about human beings.
So I started to branch out and work at different hospitals. I moonlighted at a lot of different hospitals. I worked at over 12, I think 13 hospitals in New York City. I ran an emergency department in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. I did a lot of work in emergency medicine for 23 years, and I learned a lot about the human organism. I also learned that the healthcare industry is not necessarily out for the benefit of human beings. It has become a business that has been overrun with keeping people in a space where they're just not sick enough to not come back. You know, they have to come back to the hospital and get care. They have to be reliant on medications. They're being sent for procedures that they don't really need or they could do without basically sick care. And I took an oath when I went into nursing to do no harm. And that's, you know, you could give Hippocratic oath of forgiveness. I promised to do no harm. And I felt like I was doing harm to people. And it eventually got me into a place of guilt and shame of doing the things that I was doing that I wanted to get out. And I ended up getting hurt in the hospital. I ended up breaking my back while working at the hospital. And I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. I was also doing personal training on the side. I lost all my clients. I was doing coaching. I couldn't do anything. And so I really hit rock bottom. Mm. From 2003 to 2018, most people don't know this, but 18 hospitals closed down in New York City. And so the emergency rooms started to get overwhelmed and flooded with human beings during flu seasons. And if anything happened in New York City, the healthcare industry wasn't going to be able to handle it because of the amount of hospitals that were shut down. And I got out of there and left New York just in time for the whole COVID thing to go down. You know, I've been in every major pandemic. I've been there through SARS, MERS. I've been there through H1N1 twice. I've been there through West Nile virus. I've been there through all of these things. Kept saying, if something else happens in the city, it's going to be ridiculous. And here comes COVID. And I left just in time for the whole COVID thing to crash. And so part of my exploration in diving into myself and all the work that I had done and really learning about the human organism and how the mind, body, spirit, energetics, and all these things work together, couldn't find a way to put all this stuff together. And when I got hurt, you know, Cole, who's my wife, we had just started seeing each other at the time. I want to show you something. And I was like, what do you want to show me? She's like, well, not really conventional, and I think it may help pull things together for you. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? She's like, well, you go to this ceremony and you sit in a circle with people and you take these plants and you go into this psychedelic realm and you find yourself. And I'm like, oh, you want me to do some drugs with some hippie white folks? And I said, you know, I don't know if that's a thing for me. I'm a medical person and I don't do drugs. And she said, this isn't drugs. I'm asking you to reframe things and get curious. You're always talking about curiosity. Be curious. This is safe. The people that you'll be working with will be safe and they know how to keep a container. And so I went in and I had an experience with psychedelics. And it was very light, but it pulled everything together for me. All the things that I wanted to pull together started to make sense. And all of my psyche and everything started to pull together in their body situations. And after maybe 3 or 4 months, people started to fly me around the United States of America to go to their events because of my ability to triage from my healthcare experience, because of my ability to communicate with people, because of the way I communicate with people. I'm also a hip hop artist and a DJ. When I was doing my nursing, I would work as a nurse 3 months and then I would go tour on the road for about a month and I would go all over the world and all over the country. And I learned to communicate with people all over the place. And I learned what the differences were and the similarities were in human beings by being able to talk to them about what was going on in their lives. So all of this stuff tied together. And Cole had it right. She hit the nail on the head. She said, I see you. And I see where all the stuff would tie together. Just give this a go. And I did. And it made so much sense. And I got to rewire my brain in a different way that started to help me open up and let go of all these old constructs and all of the things that have been holding me back from clearly functioning from a place of what I call sovereignty, which is control over my experience of things, not just the things that have been happening to me, but how I perceive them and how I respond to them instead of reacting to them. So everything started to pull together, and I started to really develop a way to get intimate with people in 5 minutes or less. And that's what I do. You know, when I get on the phone with people, or I meet people in the store, or I talk to someone in a restaurant, I'm seeing how quickly I can get into an intimate space by moving outside of canned responses. Like when someone asks you, how are you? I don't say, oh, I'm good. How are you? I stop. I square off with them shoulders, and I look at them, and I ask them something like, what's making your heart sing today? What's the most amazing part of your day so far? And they have to stop, and they have to contemplate, and they give me a response. And I lean into that response, and they usually ask me, well, what's making your heart sing? And I ask them if they really, really want to know. And if they really, really want to know, they'll wait. There's no rush, and they slow down. And I tell them what's going on with me and what's really making my heart sing in a moment. And it gets into a point where people's nervous systems can start to align with each other. And when your nervous system starts to align, there's more consideration for why you are the way you are, where you came from, and where you're looking to go. And so there's a deeper connection. And when you have that deeper connection and you have control over it, nobody needs to control your experience. You don't need to manipulate people to do things. People will lean into you because they want to. And so that's kind of the evolution in a nutshell of me going from being a nurse to doing what I'm doing now.
When you said you were in the hospitals and people were having procedures they really didn't need. Yeah, that was on another platform that I heard you say that. I'm like, I bet that does go on. Hospitals are money machines.
Oh, yeah. When you come in the hospital and you sprain your ankle and someone sends you for, you trip, you fall down, you sprain your ankle and someone sends you for a CAT scan of the head, you clearly didn't really hit your head that hard. But they send you for a CAT scan of the head, a CAT scan of your ankle, or, you know, bypassing X-rays. I've seen all kinds of stuff happen. I've seen people sent for spinal fusion surgeries. And when I hurt my back, I hurt my spine, and I couldn't walk, I was immediately told that I had to get screws put in my back, that I'd never walk, I'd never run, I'd never jump, I'd never lift anything heavy again in my life. And I did a ton of research, and I did a ton of exploration, and I was told that I'd need to be on these pain medications and take steroid injections in my back, which I've never been a fan of. And I did the research on myself. I went deeper, and I looked for stuff. And this is where the internet comes in handy. You know, there are tons of people who have moved beyond things without conventional medicine. And so I looked into what was going on with my spine. I know the anatomy of the spine, but I got deeper into it, and I got deeper into herniated discs and fractured vertebra and stuff like that. And I started to understand the musculature and how the musculature can actually pull the bones apart when you strengthen it a certain way. So I learned this stuff, and I learned the value of icing and temperature therapy and getting out of toxic relationships. I was in a really, really toxic relationship situation when I hurt myself. And so moving away from that allowed my nervous system to calm down because I wasn't posturing a certain way. And I was able to heal myself without any medications, without any surgeries. I now lift heavier, run faster, and jump higher than I ever have in my life. And I'm going to be 50 years old this year. And
no.
I'm in better shape than, I'm in better shape than I've ever been in my life. Working on handstands right now, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I have two grandkids, 12-year-old and a 6-year-old grandkid. My daughter's 30. You know, people look at my picture and they're like, get out of here. You can't be almost 50. And I'm like, well, I'm 50 years old this year. The mission that I'm on is to really get people to see themselves in a different light, to see themselves in ways that they never thought possible. Because it is possible. And so, you know, the healthcare industry has been keeping people prisoner for a long time. It's a machine that makes a lot of money. Seen all kinds of stuff happen and changes happen. And to make retention happen, they do in the hospital called Prestini surveys, where they survey people to see if they're satisfied with coming back to the hospital. What would make you come back to the hospital? What would make you come back here? And so, pillow fluffing and what you eat and how the food is brought to you and all of this stuff is really, really important. However, you know, the care that you receive in preventative situations are not considered, and it's not a concern of the healthcare industry. And so people are constantly thrown back into this loop. And there's no push for physical fitness. There's no push for nutritional education. None of this stuff is being done. And when you look at the wake of things like COVID, where people are putting on masks and isolating themselves from one another, yet they're still going in their house in there eating chips and carbs and Twinkies and all of this stuff and not taking care of themselves. This is part of the way our health matrix is. We are not creating wellness. And when we do not educate people on how the human organism works, on how the human body works, they have to rely on something outside of themselves. And this is one of the things that the healthcare industry thrives upon, is ignorant folks. And so, you know, the healthcare industry has its gloves in a lot of systems, including the government and our education systems. And I've watched them remove physical education from schools. I've watched them remove health classes from schools. I've watched them remove things like home economics and teaching people how to come from schools over my lifetime. And this is counterintuitive to the health and the intimacy and the sovereignty of the human organism. And it's like we're mass producing people that are slaves without shackles, and it's pretty frightening.
That is so true. Ding, ding, ding. So do you think psychedelics are going to be an important part of the next wave of human evolution?
I believe that they are already an important part of the next wave of human evolution. You know, the way things are right now, particularly with this COVID situation and the racism situations that are going on in the United States and around the world, people are, there's a mental health crisis that is happening right now. You know, the amount of people that Cole and I have been helping navigate through suicidal ideation, suicidal situations, and recovery from family members killing themselves and going into psychosis, depression, and all these other things is unreal. And so the wait line, we had a client call us up and tell us that they called the suicide hotline, and we're on the suicide hotline for 14 minutes waiting for somebody to pick up. And this is something that it's our system's becoming overwhelmed. And so people are turning to psychedelics in spaces where it is not conventional and it is on an underground space to enlighten themselves and reprogram their nervous systems. There is a propensity for a reprogramming of the nervous system from a space of sovereignty, from a space of you controlling your environment, unlike anything I've experienced in healthcare at all. I've worked in psychiatric environments. I've worked with a lot of psychiatric situations and psychological situations, and nothing has had the impact that I've seen with psychedelics. And I worked in healthcare for a long time, and I've never seen anything like the renaissance that's happening right now with psychedelics. I think it's really important for people to become educated on psychedelics and remove the stigma from psychedelics, so that we can move into a place of utilizing these substances, these plants. Not all of them are plants. There are fungi. Some magic mushrooms may be the popular name. Psilocybin mushrooms, and there are some synthetics that, like MDMA, which used to be called Molly or ecstasy, derivatives of that type of situation, LSD. I've seen people have some amazing, and ketamine. Ketamine is now being used in clinics nationwide in the United States to help people move through depression, to move through all sorts of psychiatric situations. The place that Cole and I have been working from is a place of utilizing psychedelics for human optimization, creating new neural pathways in the brain, and moving people away from old traumas and reprogramming new styles of living into the human organism. And when we utilize psychedelics from a place of awareness and from a place of care and love, we can really, really help people to become sovereign of their experiences and move beyond the programming that TV and social media have been implanting in people. I think it's definitely a huge part of the next wave of human evolution.
You and Cole are a dynamic duo. Y'all better watch out, world, because
thank you.
You're beautiful people. Talk about the right facilitator.
You know, in working with psychedelics, I think it's really important for the person that is facilitating to have experienced psychedelics in the first place, so that they know how to navigate and help you navigate that space. It's important to understand the person's intent, the facilitator's intention, what their experience with psychedelics, the particular substance they will be working with or sitting for you, right? There are facilitators, and there are what we call space holders and trip sitters. And space holders and trip sitters kind of can hold the space. They can hold the room, right? They can be there with you and get you what you need as you have your experience. This is always about you. It's always about the person having the trip or having the journey, as we call it, or being in the ceremony, as we call it. The facilitator, from my vantage point, is a person that knows how the substance works, how long the substance works, what may come up for you, and how to hold the space for you without, and this and that. I don't like to use without a lot, but without interrupting or without implanting anything into your process. It's really, really important to understand if the person that is facilitating your psychedelic experience does not ask you about your health issues or your history around mental health, any substances that you've experienced in the past, what your trauma history is, what your drama history is in your life. If they haven't asked you about, if they haven't done an onboarding call with you to see where you are, that's not the person. Lean into people who are curious about you, who are taking the time with you, who are going to sit on the phone with you or sit in person with you and talk to you, who will tell you what substances they'll be working with, exactly how much you'll be given, what will happen to keep you safe. Safety is of the utmost importance when utilizing psychedelics. If you are not in a safe environment, you will not know where to go, and two, possibly have an experience that may open some other stuff up for you that may not be functional. So safety is of the utmost importance. How will you keep me safe? Will I be safe? What will the environment be like? There's something in the psychedelic world that we talk about is having the set and setting. If you may have heard about people doing psychedelics in a party or at a rave and having a bad trip and thinking people are coming to get them and all that, and that has to do with the set, the setting, and the energy around you. And so if your mindset is not in a space to be able to flow with psychedelics and your body set, okay, and we talk about body set as far as if you're not hydrated, if you don't have the right amount of electrolytes on board, if you have certain types of food in your stomach before you go on your journey, all of these things are very, very important. And your facilitator, my vantage point, is a person who should be asking these questions. And I don't like to use the word should, but they should be asking these questions. If they're not asking these questions, then it's no. And always lean into your body when working with psychedelics. If your body's like, oh, this feels kind of scary, but it's a yes, then go with it. If your body's like, this is a no, I want to run, then don't do it. Okay? Always trust your body. Your body knows when you're leaning into psychedelics, it knows what it needs, and it will always be able to tell you. So the person that's going to be facilitating your psychedelic event is really important. If you feel like you need someone else there with you that you know, ask them if that can be a possibility. They can sit in the room or sit outside the room, sit at your space. Utmost importance. I hope that helps.
Oh my gosh, it does. If you're just now tuning in, we got a new best friend. Yeah, it's Ta Witty. Ta Witty. You can go online right now. It's TAHonline.com. That's TAHonline.com. Correct, Ta?
That is correct.
Then I wanted to talk about, you know, what psychedelics should we be experimenting with? Because we've heard of shrooms, mm-hmm. but you call them magic mushrooms. We've heard of Molly. Mm-hmm. We've heard of LSD. Ketamine, that's a new game. Wow. How does the facilitator know what you need? You said before they ask questions.
Right.
And
so,
go ahead.
Different facilitators work with different things. Some work with multiple substances. Some specialize in others. And so knowing what you want in particular is really important. Are you looking to become more grounded? Are you looking to expand into a headspace? There's certain things that are really great for going into a headspace, like LSD. Like there's microdosing. Okay, there's three different types of dosing. There's microdosing, there's mini dosing, and there's macro dosing. So microdosing is what we call a sub-perceptual dose. Right, if you look for people to not be feeling or having hallucinations or going into anything, it actually helps to change the brain chemistry to be able to create new habits in a shorter period of time. And so you want that to be sub-perceptual. Mini dosing is kind of a lighter space than going into a full journey. And that's when people are usually doing isolated work when they're in a safe environment at home, or they've experienced psychedelics for a while and they know how to navigate the psychedelic space. A macrodose is when you go into into a full journey. And that's usually when you don't want to be moving around too much. You don't want to be walking around. You don't want to be outside of an unsafe environment. And that's where people have these huge breakthrough events, that tend to have huge breakthrough events and realizations with a macrodose. That's a full journey. And then if you go beyond that, that's the people we call cosmonauts, go into really, really deep spaces, and they end up coming back with revelations, and they've spoken to aliens and all kinds of wild stuff. That's a whole other ballgame. So knowing what you're looking for is really important for yourself. Are you looking to move beyond trauma? Are you looking to connect deeper in your relationship? Anybody who's looking to do psychedelics, please only do it where it is legal. We do not advise you going into spaces that will put you at legal risk, that removes you from being safe in yourself. So there are countries and there are spaces where you can go where psychedelics are legal, and there are programs right now that people do utilize psychedelics in a legal space. Ketamine is a huge thing right now with a lot of people moving through depression and PTSD. And ketamine was originally used as a horse tranquilizer.
Right.
And then it was originally used as a horse tranquilizer. And then it moved into Vogue. When I was early in my nursing career, we were using it for intubation, to sedate people for certain orthopedic procedures. We used it for a lot of stuff. To sedate people, and people would come out of it having these revelations, like they spoke to God and all of this stuff, and I was like, what is going on? I had no idea what it was doing. It's a dissociative, and so it helps people to dissociate and reprogram the brain. And so when moving into space looking for PTSD and depression resolution, that type of stuff, ketamine is an amazing space. When looking to expand into the mind, LSD microdosing is amazing. Psilocybin mushrooms or magic mushrooms are great for breakthrough experiences that will define the brain. It's very well-rounded situations. You can get into a lot of spaces with that. Working with mescaline-based psychedelics like peyote and guachuma or San Pedro are really great for connecting with the self and bringing subconscious old programming that's getting in the way of body and posture situations to the surface. We've had people move through amazing things, getting beyond cerebrovascular accidents or strokes, getting beyond that stuff and actually opening up the nervous system into spaces that are functioning in ways that no other medicine or anything has been able to open up. So I have a person that I worked with who worked with psychedelic called ibogaine, which is based off of a plant called iboga or iboga, however you want to pronounce it, I-B-O-G-A, from Africa. And it helps to rewire the nervous system unlike anything. And for people who have been addicted to opiates or any other kinds of substances in that vein, that are looking to reprogram their nervous systems and get the restrictions to shift in the body, ibogaine has had some amazing results. And, you know, it's legal in certain spaces in Canada and certain spaces all over the world. It has not been legalized in the United States. But the amount of openings that people have had in ibogaine are absolutely astounding. The amount of people that are coming that have been addicted to methadone and heroin and opiates and Percodan and Percocet and that type of stuff have been coming off of these things with the utilization of ibogaine. So there are so many different types of psychedelics that are having so many amazing results for people. And to be frank, the healthcare industry is having to get on board now because of the studies that are being done, because of the results that people are having in short periods of time that talk therapy is not getting people to. And so psychedelics combined with talk therapy are amazing. And so we are seeing people have this renaissance with psychedelics that is absolutely amazing that's going on. So choosing a facilitator, doing your research. There's amazing, amazing things that people can research. You know, I'd love to invite the listeners to go to a website called Sapien Soup, SapienSoup, sapiensoup.com. And they have an expose on psychedelics that's designed to get the average person who's not a science geek or a medical professional to really understand how psychedelics work. And how psychedelics interact with what's called the HT2A receptors in the nervous system. to actually help reprogram things. It's amazing, and it's really easy, and I'm about empowerment. So if people are going to get into psychedelics, I want them to become empowered with information on this stuff. And so you can see if it's for you. Now, psychedelics are not for everybody, and there are certain conditions that I would not tell people to go jump into psychedelics. Don't jump into psychedelics immediately. If you're taking SSRIs for antidepressant purposes, that's selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Be mindful of that. If you can get on board, if you have an amazing therapist, a psychiatrist that's bound to help you with things, and you're talking about this and you want to explore, talk to them and see if they can wean you off of these medications for your experience. And if you need to get back on, get back on and see what happens. It's time to explore yourself and get to know yourself. And when we rely on people outside of ourselves to completely heal us and fix us, it is fortifying what I call the shame device, that something is wrong, bad, okay, not enough, or too much about you. And so those ideas will stop you from getting to know yourself deeper because you feel like you have to get someone else to fix you. When you get to know yourself, when you become more intimate with yourself, when you become intimate with how your body works, with how your body interacts with the environment, with how your body and your brain and your mind interact with the people around you, with the systems you adhere to, if you believe in religion, are you really intimate with your religion? Are you intimate your ideas around your gender and your race and your identity as a human being? Are you really intimate with that stuff? Or are you rolling with what someone else told you you are and how they told you you should perform? And when you can lean into that, you can really, really get intimate with yourself. And psychedelics are an amazing way to help people get deeply intimate with themselves.
Wow. You know, when you were talking, I thought of, well, you want to reprogram the brain so it works better. I thought of, remember back in the day, they did lobotomies. Lobotomies were the thing. They'd cut your head, split your skull open in a minute, and those folks would be almost zombies. But it seems like psychedelics is a softer way to manipulate the brain in a loving way.
Lobotomies. There's a lot of controversy around lobotomies and lobotomies disrupting a part of the brain so the person reacts and performs according to where society says they should perform. Okay, society in and of itself is not a natural situation. It is a situation that we've utilized to help people not kill each other and to live in cohesion. And there are a lot of things around society where we force people to behave certain ways that are unnatural to their organism. And so when somebody doesn't like something, and when a kid doesn't like to go to school and they don't want to learn math, they may not be geared towards mathematics, but when you force them to do that, you force their organism to do something that they don't like. And it can cause a difference. It can cause the human body's nervous system to generate hormones that do not agree. And it puts them in a space to lean away from it. And if we do not listen to the organism becomes dysfunctional for itself, and as it looks to function for something outside of itself. And so when we lean into things that are not natural for us, things are normalized. Normal and natural are not the same thing. We tend to lean into normalization in our societies. And so when we normalize people, it's not natural for their organism. It's not natural for that individual person. It causes a disruption. And when I've noticed from my work and my studies with myself and the people that I've worked with and the people around me that have worked with other people, when we can get a person to actually naturalize themselves with their natural rhythm and create their own natural rhythm and understand how they interact with the societal constructs, with the systems around us, then a person can actually choose to synchronize and lean in or lean away from it and lean into something else. That is when a person's organism actually gets to relax and reset itself. But if you keep putting a person into a dysfunctional situation, medicating them so that they can be in a dysfunctional situation, the organism is still going to look to reset itself outside of that situation. And then you keep putting them back in its dysfunctional. It's like when you tell a person, when a person becomes addicted to crack or addicted to heroin and you want to get them out of it, you have to get them out of that environment. If you put them back in your environment, you're going to put them back into a dysfunctional state. So you have to move them completely out of it. And environment is not just where you are. It's where you are and with the things that are going on around you. And so if you put a person that's being abused back in an abusive situation, their hormone mix is going to match the abusive situation because the body is telling it to get out of here. Get out of here. Run. Don't do this. Oh, you can't focus. Take this Adderall. Or you can't focus. Take this this Ritalin. You can't focus. Right. Take this stuff so that you can focus. But you're putting a person who's not designed to focus in that situation, in that environment, and you're forcing their body into it. It's going to create a default. And so when people get into psychedelics, they have these realizations that, oh my gosh, I don't belong in this marriage. I've had so many people leave marriages and leave relationships and leave careers that were destroying their bodies. Like, oh my gosh, was it this simple? That I need to be away from this. And they leave it and they go and they have these amazing lives. And I've seen it time and time again, over and over again, people leaning into these amazing substances, having these revelations, and then leaning into the life that they want. And it makes it easier for everyone around them. It makes it easier for the whole planet when we are all chill. When we are all uptight, the whole planet is uptight. And so this is why I believe that intimacy is a huge part of the next wave of human evolution. And psychedelics are helping people to become more intimate with themselves, to become more intimate with their own processes, become more intimate with their children, become more intimate with their lives, with their businesses, so they can live things that are really true and honest to themselves. If you're working in a business that you hate, but you created it and you've been taught that you have to finish the things you started that are dysfunctional for you, it's going to create a dysfunction in your organism. So when we remove these dysfunctions, things start to come together and it's magic. And leaving nursing was one of the most frightening things for me in the world. I was afraid that my mother was going to judge me. I was afraid the world was going to judge me. I had to abandon this profession. I haven't abandoned it. I've taken all of the things that I've learned, the wonderful things that I've learned, and I've applied it to this amazing work that I've been doing around intimacy. And I've also moved into this space where I help people. And you know, psychedelics are not my main thing. That's not the main place I work. I've been educating people around that. But moving away from that, moving into a space where I really feel connected, has been the most amazing thing for me in the world, to move away from nursing, the traditional nursing, and to get into what I'm doing now has been amazing for me and the people that I've been working with. I'm working with social media influencers. I'm working with CEOs of companies. I'm working with high-powered entrepreneurs who are touching millions of people. And their businesses have changed as a result of them being more intimate with themselves. Their businesses have changed. They've become more heart-centered. The products that they've developed, the systems that they develop, and how they interact with their clients have changed. And they're becoming more centered on supporting the individual, not just making some bread. And it's not about bread. It's not about building companies and all of this other stuff. It's the people aren't uplifted. And so these people that have, I've had people that have called themselves jerks and a-holes and have completely had psychedelic experiences and like, I've been doing this all this time and didn't realize what I was doing for myself and the people around me. And so the people that I've been working with have been shifting themselves in major ways, and it's been absolutely beautiful. And I'm more than happy to talk to anyone that wants to talk about psychedelics. I'm more than happy to talk to anyone who wants to talk about intimacy and go deep. And when we go deep in these spaces, your life, my life, our life, when I remove the shame from all of the terrible things that have happened in my life and I start to see how it got me here, I view it as a circumstance. You know, I had a conversation with someone the other day around the African slave trade, and we were talking about it, and they were like, you know, I'm so sorry that my ancestors, but your ancestors, African-American people and black people are having such a hard time in the world right now. And say, okay, this happened. Got us where we are now. Let's not repeat that same garbage from the past. Let's do something different with ourselves. Let's do it from a space of awareness where we're not beating each other up, where we're supporting each other and one another. We get to know one another, and we uplift and we move through. Let's use the past as something that we review. We don't have to shame the past. Okay, that's what we did before. Let's move beyond that. Let's move into a new space where we're deeply connected, and we decided we are not doing this anymore because we're intimate with our processes. We're not doing that anymore. What we're doing is we're talking on each other. We're expanding with one another. We are touching each other's lives because we are all valuable. We're all connected. And that is where intimacy and psychedelics can expand this world. And I believe that is.
If you're just not tuning in, yep, we got a new best friend. It's Ta Whitty. He's been talking to us. And you can get online and find Ta, TAHonline.com. You mentioned another website. Is it Soupy and Soup? Spell that out for us.
Yep, Sapien Soup. SAPIENSOUP. Sapien, like Homo sapien. SAPIENSOUP. That is not my website. It is an amazing website that talks humanity, and they have an amazing expose on psychedelics, and it really introduces people on an entry-level basis to what psychedelics do and how they can help. And if you've been looking for something outside of the traditional medical model for any type of expansion in yourself, and for depression, anxiety, for PTSD, for a myriad of situations, take a look into just exploring. Get intimate with the idea of psychedelics. Get intimate with the discomfort that you have when you hear it, if you do hear it. You know, what is this stuff? Get to know it. It's something that, as a nurse, it was taboo for me. I was told that substances outside of what big pharma was delivering to people was the devil. And I'm seeing otherwise.
Right.
And so when people are in a safe environment with people who know what they're doing, psychedelics are absolutely amazing. And I co-sign them, and you will not ever get me to not co-sign them. I will co-sign them. I have experienced psychedelics on multiple occasions. I have explored, and I have taken people to places psychedelics are legal, and we've done retreats, and it's been absolutely amazing. So helping people move through spaces and being able to sit for people and help facilitate their situation has been game-changing for me.
I want to know where I can sign up. I want you and Cole to take me on a trip. No, I'll go on the trip. I just need for you guys to watch me. If you just got tuning in, it's Ty Whitty. We've been talking about psychedelics. I've got to interview you again because I could talk to you for 2 hours. I want to talk about ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. Let's talk about it.
Well, okay, I got to get you back. Can I book you again? Can I call your booker and book you again? I will do that.
Yes,
because
ma'am. Please.
And we got to talk about the mental health crisis with COVID-19, where the role of psychedelics are really playing a part in supporting people. I want to thank you so much. I believe I'm a believer. All right. Thank you so much. We can go right now.
Thank you.
Go right now to the website. It's Ta Whitty joining us this morning, and he's taonline.com, and you're going to spell that taonline.com. All right, your 1 hour of public talk radio is up. I am your hostess of the mostest, Francie Marie. Join us back next week, same time, same station. And until we meet, and one day we will, I want you to have a good week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for the Francie Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family.
That's all for now.
See you next week.
This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francie Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.